Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Coming to you live from For the Damage Coda. That's an odd Evil Morty intro, and this is definitely an odd podcast intro for a podcast called Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. Oh boy, I didn't write that one very well. I did not.
Welcome.
I am off tonight. So this should be a
welcome good show. Everybody to Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. My name is Travis.
Hey, I'm Brandon. Nice to meet one and all. Unity. God, it's so good.
Yeah,
to
Unity. Welcome back.
So it's good to hear your voices.
We're feeling fresh. We're feeling loose. Anything can happen on a brand new episode of Interdimensional RSS. If you would like to talk to us and tell us what you think about this show, make sure to follow our social media over at Twitter at Rick and Morty Pod, over on Reddit, rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com, or you can go to rickandmorty.reddit.com. Instagram is Rick and Morty Podcast. You can go to our website, www.rickandmortypod.com, facebook.com/rickandmortypodcast. All of these things in the show notes. We have so many ways to there's so many ways, Brandon.
So many ways.
You can email us, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to patreon.com/rickandmortypod. You can also follow us live as we record these episodes over on Twitch.
Don't do it.
On YouTube, on Mixer. Just look up, I don't know, Rick and Morty or something. It's the Apathetic Enthusiasm stream, so go check all of those.
On Mixer, it's actually not Rick and Morty related.
It's
actually
just your Mixer.
Yeah, and they're probably like looking at it like, this. What? Why is this a thing that we're watching? This is dumb. Steve the Heb, what? Steve_the_Heb. By the way, if you're interested in Mixer.com.
You know what's also a really fun fact is when we start the stream because of streaming to Mixer now, I get a notification that in Windows 10 that you have started streaming whenever I start the stream. So the first thing people hear on our stream is always a Windows notification sound that we're streaming. So that'll be our opening.
You know, it works, and that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's that gratification. It's that knowledge that the stream is in fact working, even if nobody's watching. So thank you everyone, we're all about
instant gratification here. That's I want to say we're all about instant gratification here, and that's why we love to have you. People who are equally into gratification instantly, not these 30 minutes. It's like instant grits. Any self-respecting Rick and Morty fan goes for that instant gratification.
These are Instagrats.
Magic grats.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Brandon is in rare form tonight, so we are in for a treat. Let's not belabor the fact at all and get into our first segment, which is semi-pertinent news.
Internet news.
There's a moment there where it sounded like you were saying internet news.
I did change it to internet.
Because I'm keeping up.
We got a lot of this stuff from the internet. So I felt like, you know, this is like a good chance to change it up a little bit and just really like expand the mythos of semi-pertinent news.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, it's new horizons. It could really be about anything as long as it's semi-pertinent to the show. First up in semi-pertinent news, the IGN tweet, show us what you got. Why don't you break this one down, Brandon?
All right. Yeah, cool. You should have me break down everything from here on out. Oh,
I'm going to break it down.
Such a good mood tonight. Here's what the deal is. IGN, they put out a tweet, and what they did is it's one of those images, videos that like flashes a bunch of.
It's called a GIF, Brandon.
Oh. That's inaccurate. It's not a GIF. It's actually like a video. It doesn't matter. The fact is, there's lots of images.
It's a high quality GIF.
And so what IGN wanted you to do, Unity and us technically, because we did it, was like just screen capture, and then whatever it's screen captured, that's the character that you got, and we got the old lawnmower dog.
Snowball.
Yeah. I got mine up there. So we got that. Brian Newton, our old director friend, he got Pickle Rick. A couple of you sent us some of the ones that you wanted. Daniel Green, old Linkler, got Adolf Linkler. So that's
spot on. I'm not assuming foul play. I'm not assuming multiple screenshots were taken. Maybe it was fate. I don't know.
We're not going to say you're a liar, Dan. but it's awfully convenient that you got your namesake there. We have a link in the show note if you too want to screen capture an IGN tweet and show us what you got. Please do. twitter.com/IGN/status/10989382068028866661.
Yeah, make sure you wrote that down or go to the show notes. All right. Also, in semi-internet news, this week, if you are still a person that has HQ Trivia installed on your mobile device, then you may have caught the fact that there was Rick and Morty trivia on Thursday night for HQ. Good old Scott Rogowski himself hosting the show, going through 12 questions all related to Rick and Morty. And obviously, we had to play this night.
Had to.
How often are you playing HQ now? Just regularly? Is it a solid zero? Are you checking in every once in a while?
I reinstalled it for Thursday night's game.
All right, fair enough. There you go. I have never won HQ ever, and still play maybe 3 times a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just a terrible, terrible trivia guy.
It's a sucker for punishment, they say.
Yeah, well, they added HQ Words, which is a word game that's kind of like Wheel of Fortune, and so it's kind of fun.
Okay.
So I play that, too. And Sheena likes word games. So anyway, Rick and Morty trivia, we got together in our Discord, actually.
That's right.
And you and me and Linkler Makes Three, we all hung out and played HQ together. That's not cheating. That's just friends helping friends, you know, win.
Or
all guess the wrong answer together.
It's true. I mean, you have especially when HQ first came out, you'd have like office parties where they all got together at the same time to try to win these prizes, and there was even a tweet for this episode where there was like a picture of like 8 phones lined up in a row.
Brandon, do you want to sort of break down how our night went on the trivia extravaganza?
I mean, so I don't even remember the questions. I actually recorded the whole thing on my phone. But we were in a chat with old Linkler himself, and we went through all 12 questions, and we got to there were some like iffy ones, and then we got to question 11, which was the answer was who does the president say to get to help write a hit song, and the answers were Pharrell, Justin Bieber, or Billy Corgan, and we all three of us like
and I want to be clear here, the only name that really came to mind was The Dream.
Yeah, good call. Good
you
call.
You mean you don't know who The Dream is?
Am I the only one here? And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's Bieber because Billy Corgan is way too. I remember it was like, it shouldn't be that one. But Pharrell was the one that we were kind of like iffy on.
I was pretty confident that he had said Pharrell.
Yeah.
But I was like. I feel like I remember in that episode them mentioning Bieber, but I feel like Bieber was one of the casualties of the Grammys or something like that. Like he's mentioned elsewhere maybe in the episode.
Right.
But for some reason it was rattling around in this old noggin of mine. and so I ended up clicking Bieber and we all clicked
Bieber.
I think Daniel might have clicked Pharrell. But either way, we all clicked the wrong answer.
Yo, we didn't. We all didn't click Bieber. That's the one we should have picked. But we like I picked Pharrell. Chelsea, my wife, she was playing along as well, and I was like, pick. It's Sneezy Deluxe, the car. And so we all got it wrong. Needless to say, and Chelsea and I were both like, no. We will get this extra life because we
not
knew that
today.
We knew that answer. And then question number 12, if you're a fan of Rick and Morty, then you know what the answer to this is what was the show, what was the original animation that Justin Roiland made?
What was the title of it? Yeah.
And of course it was Doc and Marty.
And now there were three different spellings of Doc and Marty.
Yeah,
so you
doesn't
I mean,
count.
You kind of have to understand how like Roiland would write that, I guess. But as soon as we saw question 12, all of us were like, oh yeah, we know this one.
Yeah.
But you guys had cheated in a fair way by getting your extra lives. Yeah. So you were able to answer the question and take home a whopping 49 cents.
49 cents
each. That's almost a whole dollar for your household there, Brandon.
Yeah. The Dan Levy on Twitter, he also won. And I saw a tweet about a 79-year-old grandfather who had never seen the show and also won. So, Travis, let me just say this. You play three times a week, and a 79-year-old man who knows nothing about a show that you talk about every other week won the trivia.
Yeah, because I'm destined to always fail at HQ trivia. That's all there is to it. Moving on to our next semi-pertinent news story. Rick and Morty versus D&D module is coming out soon.
Oh yeah.
It was seen out in the wild at Mike Goes Geek on his Instagram page. Shared an image of, was it in a GameStop? I think
it
might have been in like a GameStop.
That's
the but one. It was the D&D module. This might actually be the trade paperback for it. Is that what it is? It's both.
I responded to him. I said, "Whoa, is that the trade paperback or is that the module that they were talking about?" And he said, "It's both." It was in text. I'm imagining that's what he sounded like.
You're assuming the inflection on that one.
Yeah, it's both.
That's probably how Mike Goes Geek would have said it.
How would you? How do you want your coffee? Black. Like just
it's both. Two Mike, sugars.
Mike Goes Geek.
Let's stop making fun of him. Anyway,
he's a good guy.
No, we're honoring him and his legacy. Anyway, thank you for showing that. Image to us, it looks like it was about $25 at GameStop. I intend to pick this up. I think we should play this module as a group. Maybe we could do that as a bonus episode for International RSS as we continue to work towards season 4. And I'm sort of at odds because we're about to start a new D&D campaign and I'm like, but it comes out officially
so
soon. Maybe we should do one more, like, one shot. Or we can hold on to it and just have it be, like, this weird offshoot. with your normal characters. Yeah. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, maybe I can, this will be my last one shot. It could be my last one shot before we get back into yours. Or after we get back into yours.
Or I'll just never DM again and we'll just never get into our actual campaign.
No, we have to. We have to because you owe me. You owe me big time.
Have to. All right. Moving on. Morty of the Month winners. Thanks to everybody who entered our Morty of the Month contest for the big end of season giveaway.
Oh, yeah.
There were many Mortys to be handed out, and you guys certainly delivered by answering trivia questions and retweeting and doing all sorts of things to put your names in the hat to win some Mortys.
And being longtime supporters of the show, we wanted to reach out and for those who have supported us for many, many moons, we wanted to hit you up and pick your names out of a hat. And there you go. So with that in mind, congrats to Nikki Chuck, Philip Marks 87, who got some stuff right the first time we did trivia, Johnny Ram, RVA, R Beavis 980, Cog Drizzle 12, Totsum, old Dom, J1, J2, Shay Minty, and old Eric Sirdark.
Old Sirdark. Congratulations, guys. Only a couple things left. One thing that you have here in some pertinent news, it just says Justin Roiland.
Oh, yeah. It says Justin Roiland, but I think that is actually for the next portion. I wrote Justin Roiland, but it was actually a weird segue somehow into what we like to call the Dan Harmon Social Media Minute.
Bam, bam, bam. Dan Harmon Social Media Minute with no rhyme or reason to the song. I'm just going to sing it. Social Media Minute. Yeah, actually, in this Dan Harmon Social Media Minute, we are going to play a song for you. It was Justin Roiland's birthday recently, and as Dan Harmon frequently does on his Instagram page, he uses some sweet apps to produce some music, and in this last week, he featured a song for Justin's birthday, so I think we have that audio potentially.
Oh, we sure do. We sure do, Travis.
All right.
What I like.
Are you waiting for it to loop so you can time it correctly?
No, I was actually making sure the volume was a weird
spot. Justin Roiland, you were just a boy when we met, and I will bet you're feeling older today. You do the voices and you make creative choices that bring millions of us joy, and so the world would like to say happy birthday. You're the best, last season sucked. Give me a job, I hope you die. Just take my money, take your time and make me more. Happy birthday, you're a monster, you're a god, you're nothing special. Never change, you changed my life. Now where the fuck is season 4?
It's good.
Classic. And for those of you that did not see the... Oh, there he is again. Oh, gosh. Quiet, Dan. Back in the box. He is driving during this Instagram video. So, you know, keeping it safe out there on the streets of California. But he's driving a Tesla, so...
That's where we do our best.
Clearly, it was not an autopilot as he was turning around corners. But anyway... really awesome post. Go check out Dan Harmon's Instagram page because he's not on Twitter anymore.
That is correct, Travis.
And happy birthday, Justin.
Yeah. February 2 plus a number. That's Roiland's birthday, one of those days. Thank you so much, Travis, for that. But as you know, when we transition out of eventually semi-pertinent news, we have to transfer into something that we call the main thing. Oh, I was at you. Look at you. Look at your face.
I'm not doing it.
Look at your face.
Main thing. Main thing. You should just... I can't, that's my acapella damage coda. It's a main thing.
Remember,
all right.
Remember when people complained about me doing bad music?
Yeah, and there's a reason you did it, is because you were the better one at improvised music.
Oh,
Brandon.
Yeah. Whoa, that's
yeah.
Whew,
yeah.
That's a stretch.
Yeah. All right, everybody. This week we are recapping season one, episode one, all over again, because we're out of episode. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. This is our Evil Morty episode. We've been teasing this for a few weeks, and we've decided to take a little time and discuss about a character who every fan of the show has an opinion about. I think so. There have been countless theories about this character. Obviously, that's Evil Morty. So the first thing that's written in the show notes and the question I will ask you, even though you wrote the question down in the show notes, is why do you think Evil Morty is such a compelling character?
Ooh, that's a tough question, and I'm glad I wrote it down with the intent of asking you first and then me taking like a 20-minute break.
just kind of piggybacking off of everything that I say.
Yeah, every single thing you say is what. Yeah, no, absolutely right.
No, that's a great point, Travis. That's good. Yeah, I keep that up.
Yeah, what's your next point? Because I probably agree with that too.
Well, okay, so a couple of reasons why
you didn't
I think,
let me ask. You didn't even let me answer it.
Go for it.
I was setting it back over to you. Okay, oh, setting it back to you now. But give it back to me. Set it. I want to spike it. No. Okay. So here's that was like the first question that came to my mind. Was, you know, why is he such a compelling character? He's only been in two episodes, right? The Rick Lantis mix up or Tales from the Citadel and Close Recounters of the Rick Kind, and he's left such a mark on the fans. Right, you think of Evil Morty, you think of President Morty, and you think, oh, this is the shit right here. This is what's happening. This is some real stuff, and I think that's what it is you this it's kind of like the first villain or real foil to Rick, like the real foil that even he's not really. He doesn't know. So it's something that the audience, the viewer knows is a real threat to him, but he doesn't know it, right?
Right. Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think one of the things in the first appearance of Evil Morty is that he's sort of revealed at the very end of an episode. So even though, like, he is actually the one pulling the strings for an entire episode, and we realize at the end, like, it's this big twist, like, oh, it's not this other Rick that's been killing a bunch of Ricks. It's an Evil Morty that's responsible for it. There's almost no additional information about him. Like, the episode cuts off. Then you cut to this more, like, fun, like, season finale with a party and everything. And then you have like years of time where we get zero information about Evil Morty. And so I think fans are left with a lot of time to speculate and think about, all right, what's the deal with him? Obviously, like you said, he has that ability to potentially be better than Rick or be an actual competition to Rick, but he's in the background. He's not a prominent character in the foreground. And so I do think that's compelling. And he's one of the only characters that I can really think of in the first season that's introduced in such an interesting way and then left out to kind of hang there and not have any resolution. So that we continue to wonder, like they make it very clear that he is out amongst the Mortys of the Citadel. He is still at large when we leave him the first time. And so I think that mystery around the character has helped to make him so compelling also.
I was typing out a question as you're finishing up that, and it if you read in the show notes, Travis, a little behind the curtains, I didn't finish the question, but I will answer.
I can see that your cursor is still there at the end of your incomplete sentence.
And so here's, I'll ask the question. Do you think it would have been effective? do you think it would have been, do you think it would have been as effective, a reveal if evil President Morty was reintroduced sometime in season two? Do you think that year gap, several year gap between season two and season three, and Tales from the Citadel, that highlighted or kind of elevated the reveal of President Morty?
I do. I think that in much the same way that the first reveal of evil Morty at the end, towards the end of season one, it wasn't expected. You just thought of him as like maybe this Morty that is a decent, he's an evil Morty to an evil Rick, but you feel like that relationship is still the same, and that the relationship isn't in reverse where the evil Morty is controlling this Rick. So you have an entire season that has almost like 3 or 4 years surrounding it of downtime for you to really speculate about evil Morty, but then also sort of forget about it and get back into the rhythm of the show. And you see a lot of Mortys in a lot of different situations, and none of them are evil Morty. So the reveal of President Morty as evil Morty in the Rick Lantis mix-up is again one of those gotcha moments where I remember watching the Rick Lantis mix-up the first time through and not being like, oh, this is evil Morty, this is going to be evil Morty. It's not until like towards the end when you start seeing more of his character, and then his campaign manager is investigating into it, and then obviously when he is in the boardroom and he gives his speech, and then you see everybody floating around and you hear what is now the iconic theme music for Evil Morty, that you're just like, what? No way. Oh my gosh. Wait, does he have an eye patch? He doesn't have an eye patch anymore. But and so I think I don't know what your question was.
Would it have been as effective if it was revealed in season two versus season three?
I think it could have been, but I think that then there would almost be like this expectation that we're always going to be checking in with evil Morty, like maybe every season. Mm. So I think to have a season without him, It's almost to that point where you forget, like you're not expecting him. Sort of the way that we expect an interdimensional cable type of episode right. in a season now, because they set the precedent in the first season, you get the sequel in season two, and then they're like, all right, let's try Morty's mind blowers in season three, just kind of mix it up. But if they had done some sort of evil Morty episode in season two, I feel like that would also get that sort of same thing where you're like, all right, they only showed him once in season one, then they showed him only in this episode in season two, so then like every episode in season three you're like, is this gonna be the one where they show him? And I don't think the reveal at the Citadel with him being President Morty would have been as effective, because it would have been like, oh, there's a Morty run for
there
president,
he is.
He's trying, this is going to be him. I told you there are only 3 episodes left in the season. I told you this was going to be him. So I do think it was probably better for them to take that season off.
You make a really good point with like the having an expectation of the types of episodes year after year, and being forced to as a writer to say, okay, this is what they're expecting. We need to fit it in some way, shape, or form. I think that there were some a good handful of people that started watching the show in season three, And
sure. I'm sure there were.
And so they would have seen Tales from the Citadel after watching Pickle Rick and Hemorrhage, with Summer marrying Hemorrhage, and the Toxicity episode, all this stuff. And then getting to this episode where, like, okay, more wacky Rick and Morty hijinks. Oh, they're on a Citadel? Oh, there's a bunch of them. And then getting to a point where, like, oh, there's a evil Morty who's president now that has a different type of a effectiveness, right? Like, without even knowing the history of the character. And this is just an aside, but I think that is even more of a reason why that episode is the best episode of the season, even above Pickle Rick, in my estimation.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, no, I could support that way of thinking. And one of the things that is interesting, I think, about Evil Morty is the fact that he spans all three seasons, essentially. He, you know, makes that first appearance in season one, and then again is popping up in season three. Obviously, we have plenty of characters that have been consistent throughout the series, but this character particularly sort of lends to that idea that maybe Dan Harmon, Justin Roiland, the rest of the writers on the team have this bigger goal in mind, right? Like that, and I think it drives a lot of the fans that pursue theories and theory craft about the show and what might be happening if there is a bigger picture to the story. And I think we've been pretty vocal on this podcast about how we don't necessarily buy into all of that, and we think that maybe most of the shows are encapsulated and they refer to other episodes, but it's not necessarily all part of this big larger puzzle. Mm-hmm. I found it really interesting to hear when I was listening to Harmontown earlier this week that Dan Harmon doesn't necessarily love that kind of idea of having a bigger story, like where it's you have to go and chase the breadcrumbs and dig more and more through it. So I'm curious, like, do you think that there might be a bigger story already planned out to Evil Morty, or do you think this is something that they kind of continue to build over time, and they're maybe like, oh, here's a good opportunity to kind of revisit that idea or revisit the character?
I'm making noises to get my thoughts out there eventually. I'm not a writer. That's not how I was trained. And so I'm wondering if Harmon, if he has this kind of like grander thing in mind, or if he, like they do in improv, right? Like when you start a scene in long form improv, you Upright Citizens Brigade or wherever, you start a scene and you have this basic outline, and you just let the moment carry you, and it carries you forward. And occasionally you have callbacks to certain things, and oh, haha, there's funny, and but you're living. You're always in the moment. You're not trying to think too far ahead. You're not thinking about what happened in the past, but things just naturally get to a place. And right. Yeah. And although Harmon talks about the story circle a lot, you can, even in those long form improvs, you still have essentially those type of circular moments.
Right.
And right. So again, my point is, I don't know if Harmon has the long term in mind, or if he just happens to be so kind of talented in that way that he finds lives in the moment, picks and chooses certain moments, and then expounds upon them to make these President Morty moments.
Yeah, yeah. I just still am not convinced that there's like a red folder somewhere in the Rick and Morty offices that's like the Evil Morty folder. do not share with fan base until 2025.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. I don't think that's the type of person he is. And so I have like a short this clip is like maybe 5-10 seconds long, but it's from the most recent Harmontown, and where Harmon talks about these kind of like these payoff moments, right? So here it is.
No, like this is going to pay off one day. Like I would hate to make that promise.
That's it. It's not even 5 minutes, 5 seconds long. So when you're thinking about like Evil Morty and the creation of it, it almost kind of cements that thought in my head that he's not flying by the seat of his pants, but living in the moment when he's writing these characters and these storylines.
Yeah, he's not writing these reveals of Evil Morty to try and set up a big payoff later on. The reality is we may never get a real payoff for what Evil Morty is doing or what his plans are. I think it's always a feather in his hat, I guess, if that's an actual saying. But like, it's always something that's there for him and the writing team, that if they ever want to flesh that out more, it's there. Like it's primed for something to build on, but it also doesn't need to be like the central thread that runs through the show. I think the show can exist and have a lot of other things happen without them having to revolve around this Evil Morty character and his schemes for power.
There's going a little bit away from Rick and Morty just for 1 second. Strange and Futile Gesture, the story about the National Lampoon. There's one of the writers who would carry with him just like a box of index cards, and on each of these index cards was an idea for an article. And so he'd think of something and he'd write it down, put it on the index card, put it in this box. And in a way, like some of these Rick and Morty things can be kind of, you know, thought of like that, where there are ideas in a box, and when that idea makes sense, pull it out, craft it, and make an episode about it. Purge Planet, let's do it.
Yeah. In that Harmontown episode, he talks about a booger ray a lot, and talking about whatever. Just make the booger ray episode. Just write it, draw it, whatever. We're just gonna make the booger ray episode.
Yeah. I want to move into theories, and then I have like a 30-second clip of Harmon eventually talking about backstories, but I want to talk about the theories first.
Okay.
And then we'll get to that clip. So there are a lot of theories obviously out there, some more legit than others.
Sure.
And I want to say, I'm sure that the writers have in the back of their minds who they think Evil Morty is and where he came from.
Yeah, that's probably something they've discussed. They've, you know, spitballed some ideas. Yeah. There, I'm sure it comes up.
Yeah. And then Harmon's probably like, "Shut the fuck up! Don't ask me that question again.
Go get me a donut in my Tesla." I don't know if he eats donuts. I'm sorry, Dan.
Sorry, Dan. I know you're a frequent listener of the show. Every time I've seen you at Harmontown, you always say hi to me, and you say, "Hey, oh, I love the podcast."
Yep, that's exactly what happens in Brandon's fantasy dream.
Theories.
I pulled a whole list of theories from Screen Rant on YouTube. They've got a video that covers a bunch of these theories, but it mostly talks just about what the theories are. I thought we could maybe dig a little bit deeper and share our thoughts on some of these theories. The very first one is that Evil Morty was abandoned by a Rick, possibly C-137 Rick, maybe another Rick, but that he is a Rickless Morty for all intents and purposes.
Poor Rickless and that's bastard.
And that's why he behaves the way that he does. Maybe he thinks that all Mortys would be better off without a Rick, and so that's why he is trying to bring the Ricks down at the Citadel and is killing off all these other Ricks earlier in the series. Your thoughts?
This theory kind of I didn't watch the Screen Rant YouTube video, admittedly, but I see the second bullet immediately below this that says Evil Morty is out for revenge. And guess what? Those sound like the same theory.
Right. Yeah. There's some things from the YouTube clip that I didn't even write down because it felt like it just supported the other theories. But yeah, I mean, I think whether it's revenge against a Rick that abandoned him or a Rick that done him wrong, I think both of those things could be motivating factors towards why he's doing what he's doing.
And this isn't one that I see written down, but what if Evil Morty doesn't even care about revenge or any of these kind of superficial issues, and he just wants to have control? Like he's not like I'm damaged because Rick left me. Oh, Rick is an asshole. I'm gonna show him wrong. Maybe he's just like, I'm fucking smart and I have an opportunity to take control of the people who are supposedly the smartest in the universe.
Yeah, there's the fourth bullet, the evil Rick is a hero in his dimension. That sort of implies that same sort of idea that he's not necessarily evil, but he is more the Rick of his own dimension, and that maybe he is from a dimension where the Morty is smarter than the Rick, and he has managed to find his way to the Citadel somehow, and looks at himself as the Morty that is going to free all these other Mortys from oppression because he is
the one true Morty.
The one true Morty. Yeah, so in that sense, maybe he carries out his plans in a very dastardly or evil way, but his intent is maybe more heroic. I don't fully buy into that, but you know, it could be the case.
You know, I know we have these things written down from Screen Rant, and I just showed this little pamphlet for The Good Morty that I got from the season one Blu-ray. But let me ask that. I made the joke about Evil Morty being the one true Morty. Well, that's when they introduced that concept of it. We kind of all thought like, oh yeah, well that's C-137 Morty. Maybe
I've never bought into that theory, but that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is going into Star Wars territory a little too much, but maybe the one true Morty is bringing balance to the Ricks and Mortys.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think the one true Morty might be the one that is most like Rick. You know, there's other theories that were on that Screen Rant that talk about it makes the assumption of another theory is that all Mortys grow up to become Ricks. And so then this evil Morty is like aware of that and all this stuff. And then time folds over on itself. And I go cross-eyed and throw up in my hoodie, and that's why I didn't include that one at all, because I really dislike that theory. I think the creative team does a great job of like blending that, and especially at the Citadel making like a really tall Morty that looks like
a tall Morty.
Yeah, the one that looks like a Rick.
Yeah.
So
tall Morty, they said he's Morty. Oh yeah. That confirms.
Yeah, it's obviously, that's exactly what it is. So but you mentioned Doofus Rick, and actually the theory that Evil Morty swapped brains with a Rick and that's why he's so smart, it actually uses Doofus Rick as a potential evidence for that theory, saying that Doofus Rick was a smart Rick but had his brain swapped with Evil Morty, and so now Doofus Rick is dumb because Evil Morty took all of his smarts. Again, not a theory I'm super into, but
here's why. And I think you already know why I'm going to say this. but it's a dumb theory. Because Doofus Rick demonstrably is not dumb. He makes brownies out of mixing up chemicals.
Yeah.
The only reason he is known as Doofus Rick is because the other Ricks treat him like shit. That is the only reason. And they're like,
and because he eats it. But like,
but he doesn't.
Those are the only two reasons.
Shut up, Travis. He doesn't actually. They're bullies, and they're picking on the one Rick who is sensitive and probably has the best interest for people in mind.
Yeah, he's the one that cares, and he actually likes Jerry. So obviously, the other Ricks will pick on him.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that covers most of the main theories, except for the one that I think I've seen the most out online, and that's that evil Morty is Rick's quote unquote original Morty. You look at the 20 years of time where Rick was missing from Beth's life and the lives of Morty and Summer and Jerry. And what was he doing at all that time? Because we've seen pictures of Rick with a baby Morty. And that sort of raises questions. Well, how was Rick around when Morty was a baby? If he's gone for 20 years, yada, yada, yada. And there is the question that maybe this evil Morty was a Morty that C-137 Rick was around in his early life. And then he did something, either he trained him to be evil like him or something else happened. And then eventually, like, left, abandoned him, wanted revenge. These all kind of build on each other. But this theory really focuses on what the payoff will be, and maybe less about the origin, but the fact that at some point when C-137 Rick comes into actual contact with evil Morty, because that's another thing we haven't really talked about, is the lack of interaction between evil Morty and our Rick. As I tend to think of him.
Well, yeah, and that's what I said really at the start of this, was the fact that the audience, the viewer, knows all of this stuff about Rick, evil Morty, President Morty.
Oh, no.
Now.
You went away.
And our Rick and Morty are completely oblivious to any of this stuff going on, which emphasizes the kind of caution, I use that word, but like the threat to it. It's an unseen threat that they are not prepared for. They don't know that it's going to be coming for them. Rick thought that in Close Recounters of the Rick Kind that he took care of the evil Rick. It's done. I'm done with this.
Yeah,
cool.
It's good to go. It's done.
But the real threat is still out there. We know it as viewers. He doesn't know it, and I think that kind of goes along with what you're saying.
Yeah.
You have a few lesser theories here,
and I put them in that category just because I dislike these theories to a degree, and I think that maybe they're just really reaching, or they're tied to like a specific episode or something that's completely unrelated, and so I feel like it's really a stretch. One of those is that Summer created evil Morty using the Morty's Mind Blowers capsules, and she actually sort of mixed the memories around and unleashed a Morty that knew too much, and so she actually created the evil Morty. I'm not buying that.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, it's a big thumbs down for me.
Yeah, definitely. The second one is evil Morty is a robot, and that I like this theory in theory. I did just make my 7-year-old watch Terminator and Terminator 2, so I love an evil robot plot. But evil Morty is a robot. Which episode was it? Where Rick
makes the robot Summer and Morty.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an early season 3 episode.
Yeah, I'm alive. I'm alive. That's funny to me. I would, if maybe as like a standalone episode that is an evil Morty, I could go for. But as a main backstory for this character, I don't think it's...
And obviously this theory is supported by like the wires coming out from behind Evil Morty's eyes,
sure, yeah,
that are like attached to the eye patch and all this stuff. But I mean, as we've seen really throughout a lot of season three, Rick has all sorts of, you know, cyber enhancements and things like that built into his body. So it's, Rick doesn't have to be all robot to have some of those, you know, robotic features sort of attached within him. And I think the same could go for an advanced Morty, like evil Morty.
True that. And we haven't gotten into the comics, but we allude to them all the time. I've talked about Doofus Jerry, who is super smart and is a equal threat to Rick. Depending on how much of those comics is canon, go ahead and caveat that. We don't know how much of it is actually canon or not, but it could be likely that evil Morty is a doofus Morty. Yeah.
So. I guess. Yeah. Leanne on YouTube says Robot Summer and Morty episode is Rick Mancing the Stone.
Thank you.
So thank you, Leanne, for shouting out in chat.
Hearts.
That's
a
hearts.
Shitty heart. I don't know how to do heart with my fingers. Doesn't matter.
I guess wrapping this up, is there anything more that you really want to say about Evil Morty? I for one would love to see the character come back. Is that something that you're looking forward to as well, or are you like, yeah, he's a president now, he can
season,
do what he wants.
Season five, yeah. I'm waiting for him in season five.
You're like, only odd seasons. That's the only time we can see Evil Morty.
The last thing I'll say, and then I'll hop into the Harmontown clip that I snagged. Is that whatever happens with Evil Morty in the future, what I hope that they don't do is do a flashback episode, and where they like, this is what happened. Oh, here's flashback 20 years ago, or 13 years ago, and Rick is ditching Morty, and oh, now Morty is now trying to survive. And he's getting all this resentment and learning how to build his own machines and contraptions. And then the big reveal of where Tales from the Citadel happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope that it doesn't happen like that, because it just, as Harmon and Shrob say it best on Harmontown, with you don't go back, you keep building forward. You keep building and adding stuff to a story. You shouldn't go back, which is my kind of problem with Han Solo, the Solo movie. But regardless, before I play the clip, do you have anything to say about that?
No. Let's roll that clip.
All right.
What do you think about this?
Like, I think it's like a terrible idea. Yeah. I'm not being glib. I don't think I think that's our friends don't have origin stories. We learn things about them that make sense when we look at them as a whole, but we don't learn the, as much as we enjoyed the River Phoenix opening to Indiana Jones, the third movie, it also simultaneously, we were watching Indiana Jones die. Like, we were getting too much information. That's how I feel about that stuff.
And I agree with that. Like, it's like in Look Who's Purging Now, like 3 weeks earlier. Like, you don't tell the story.
I think our stories should start where they start and they should end where they end, right?
Yeah.
Like,
exactly right. So that's how I feel about it. Just so
well, and I almost to like Dan's credit in terms of storytelling, like, if you want to tell about something that happened in somebody's past, you don't have to
go back to the past,
a mechanic, and go show it. You can express that through, you know, a monologue, through an interaction, through, The season two finale is a great example of this, where we don't know much about Rick's past, but a conversation between Bird Person and Beth helps to sort of fill in the gaps a little bit about what Rick's been through and maybe what he was doing, you know, throughout that 20 years when he was away. So I think that it is I think it's a unique perspective, and I think it's probably maybe upsetting for people that really love to theory craft and come up with like all these ideas about where this Morty came from and who he might be, when in reality we may never get a clear picture of that, and he may just be this one exceptional Morty that sort of rose above the others to this position of power, and then we will maybe see how that position and the talents of this one Morty end up affecting the lives of Rick and the Morty that we follow.
And even if they did go back, there's no guarantee that is going to be an effective payoff for the fans. You and I are both Lost fans, and
oh yeah.
And going back to find out how Jacob and the Man in Black became who they were, you know, interesting episodes, but they didn't. Did it really enhance what we knew about the show or enhance our enjoyment? Like we may have been able to live without those episodes without being like, oh, we never find out about how Jacob came to be, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we found out a little bit about him, but anyway.
Yeah. They talk. I don't have this clip, but they do talk a little bit more about just trying to appease so many different aspects or folks who watch the show, having to do something for everybody, and being able to appease everyone, and they're cognizant of what it takes to write a successful show and an entertaining show. And I have faith in what they're going to go with moving forward in season four, season five, and beyond.
Yeah, I would highly recommend anybody, if you're not a regular listener of Harmontown, to check out this most recent episode. I believe it's called Woke. What's it called?
Woke AF hashtag.
Yes. Go check it out.
The back end.
The second hour of the podcast is particularly interesting. They do an improvised Rick and Morty sketch. But they do talk a little bit about what it's like to write Rick and Morty and talk a little bit about sort of the behind the scenes process of it. So I highly recommend checking that episode out if you need a little extra Rick and Morty fix.
And as an added bonus, they talk shit about the new Weezer album. I mean,
yes, they do.
I mean,
come on,
Africa. Like, here's, oh man, I want to talk so
that's
much.
That's an apathetic enthusiasm conversation, and we don't have time for it, Brandon.
Right.
Because
all
as
right.
Everybody knows, it is now time for listener suggestions and short outs.
No theme song.
No theme song for this one. Thank you to friends over on Facebook. I want to give a shout out to Madison Locke, who showed off her
yes.
Anatomy Park puzzle.
Which I need that thing.
Off one of those, what you call it? No context Rick and Morty posts.
Yep.
Also, Heist Wings is always dropping comments on many of those posts. A particular favorite of mine when he talks about the Jerry Burry and how the factory tint settings are always too high. I love that line. It is one of my favorite lines from that episode. So really appreciate you sharing that. I also want to give some short outs to folks following along over on Twitch and YouTube as we stream live. Mm-hmm. We mentioned Leanne earlier. Leanne asks, there is a theory that in future seasons, all of Rick's enemies will team up to defeat him. What do you think about this theory? I'm not familiar with this theory in advance, but I mean, maybe that's the only thing that could bring Rick down is all of his enemies having to join forces, because he's sort of found a way to science his way out of every other predicament that he's been in.
And they've already dabbled with this type of stuff in the comics. Also, for some of the teaser promos that they have out there, which there was the teaser promo had a bunch of the villains going after Rick, but it also had Snowball in it. Not Snowball. Is it Snowball?
Yeah, the dog.
Yeah, okay. I got confused with The Simpsons for a second. I was like, oh, is it?
Yeah.
And I was like, he's not a villain. But he's also a villain.
But Fluffy was his slave name, right?
Snuffles.
Or whatever. Snuffles, yeah.
Anyway, so that's an aspect of some of the things in the comics. And it was like my idea for a Rick and Morty video game as well.
That was so long ago. We should still make that, with all of our free time.
I still have connections in the industry.
All right, we'll make it happen. We'll release it as a a Java game or something.
Yeah, and then immediately get sued by Turner Broadcasting.
Yeah, Turner Broadcasting.
As they take it down, just like they took out most of our stuff on TeePublic, which, by the way, let me throw this out there. That was a good segue. By the way, thank you for that question. So Datticus, our longtime friend and fan Datticus, a long time ago, he drew a picture of Travis and I for the show. And he was like, hey, you should take this and do stuff with it. And we took that image and I put it on our new website, rickandmortypod.com. And also, it's on TeePublic now. And so I want to give a shout out to old Datticus, who
rocking the mug. If you go to it's looking good, Brandon.
If you go to our TeePublic site, I want to make sure that Datticus knows that we appreciate the shit out of him. And that this mug, it's his design. It's his little initials are right there. It's Travis and I eating pickles.
So many pickles.
So many pickles.
Pickles for days.
And I do have a picture, and this is where he got it from, like of me with a giant pickle in my mouth, like long ways.
Yeah.
It's so creepy. Anyways, so I want to give a shout out to him. If you like the design, I put it out to the live stream. You can also go out there onto our show notes and see it there. Out there and support him because he's fantastic. And you can hit him up on Twitter at Datticus, C-U-S.
Yeah. Go check out all of his artwork. Final short out to Imagination, who asks, how's things? Things are good.
Thanks
for good.
Asking, yeah.
Thanks for hanging out in the live stream. Thanks for watching. if you are listening to the audio version of this podcast and want to follow along with us on a live stream, make sure that you are following us on social media and following us over either on Twitch or on YouTube. Both of those are the Apathetic Enthusiasm channels. We'll drop some links in the show notes if you want to follow along with those so that you can. Make sure to catch us live and interact with us as we're recording. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for sharing this show with friends, and family, and strangers and coworkers. And if you haven't done so already, please head over to Apple Podcasts. You can rate and review this episode or this show. Let us know what you think. Give it some stars, and that'll help us to continue to remain relevant on that platform.
That's right.
Right up until the day that season 4 arrives. So hopefully that will be soon.
That's right.
We don't know when that will be.
I do have one more shout out to my coworker Omar, who follows us on the stream every once in a while, talks to me about Rick and Morty just about every day, and I owe him about $35 for Rick and Morty mystery box figurines that he's given to me. They're duplicates that he had. He sent me a video, which was actually Royland back in December on the H3H3 podcast talking about animatics going north, and the estimate everyone being July sometime for season 4.
Omar's watching right now and he says it's $30, fool. So
I was gonna give you 35, you son of a bitch. $30 it is. Hey.
Well, thanks for watching.
Thanks
Omar.
For Chinese food,
we
by the
appreciate
way,
it.
Earlier. Yeah. It was really good.
All right, everybody. That is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. And until next time, I'm Travis.
I'm Brandon.
We'll see you around. Bye.
Oh god, that's so loud. It's supposed to fade in.
Is that the right music?
Oh. Oh, no, that's apathetic enthusiasm.
That's apathetic enthusiasm.
Hey, oh, it's transitioning.
We knew you were in a mood tonight, Brandon.
And that was not as loud. I should fix these things.